It seems all my life growing up, whether it's been parents or grandparents, I've had people tell me, primarily parents and grandparents, that old ways are always better than new ways, right? And, you know, I'll mention something to mom or daddy. Oh, you don't know anything until you experience how this was in 19, well, whatever, it was a long time ago. But, you know, I remember my grandparents when we would get together, they would talk about the good old days. They would talk about how things were back growing up, you know, in the Great Depression era, in World War I, in a post-World War World War II, they weren't that old, in a post-World War II era. And they, you know, they would talk about these good old days, and they would tell me all of these things that they would do. And listening to these different stories, the constant thing that kept going through my mind is that doesn't sound too good at all. And if you had heard some of these things, you know, sleeping on straw mattresses, I don't know if anyone had to do that. That didn't sound pleasant to me. I like Tempur-Pedic. But, you know, they would tell about all these things they had to put up with. And constantly I was being told, you know, things way back then are so much better. You know, I think there's an element of truth in that. Now, I'm going to be honest. There are some things that I will firmly argue today it's way better than it was today or it was years ago. You know, for example, I don't think anyone is making the argument that dial-up internet is the way to go when you have things like DSL and fiber optic. No, I don't think anyone would argue that. But, you know, sometimes I think it's important for us to look back at the way things used to be. Sometimes, and examine how things were and examine our lives today. And think about, you know, are we doing things different that is worse or things that is better? And I think something good for us to examine our lives. And look real quickly in Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning with verse 16. It says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls." So, tonight, I want us to look at this verse and look at this idea of the ancient paths and some things we need to be thinking about as we examine our lives today. And I think there's a lot of good lessons we can learn from this one verse. And that's primarily what I want us to talk about tonight. And the first thing that we see here, basically, when we're looking at this verse, I want to highlight four verbs that we see here. We see the first verb comes just a few words in, and it says, stand by the roads. Now, I think more today than, you know, I remember 10, 15, 20, 25, however many years ago, we live in a society that is just simply go, go, go. You know, we always have to be doing something. We always have to be going somewhere, have to be doing something to fill our time. But, you know, I think sometimes we just have to stop, stand still, and pay attention to our surroundings. Notice this first verb here, stand, it implies being still. You're not necessarily on the move. And when you're standing still, you can focus on everything around you. In Psalms chapter 46:10, the Bible says, "Be still and know that I'm God." That's something we need to remember. We need to acknowledge our surroundings. We need to acknowledge where we are. But we also need to acknowledge who gave us the ability to be who we are and where we are. We need to remember that because of God, everything in our lives that we have was given to by Him. We need to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made. We talked about that wondrous cross this morning. Those are some things we need to remember when we just stand and be still. You know, stop trying to get somewhere as quick as we can. We need to focus on being still and acknowledging our surroundings. We need to acknowledge the blessings that God gives us. We often sing the song, "Count Your Many Blessings." You know, I think the society we live in today, and I'm guilty of this a lot, we don't necessarily do that. What do we focus on instead? Things that go wrong, right? We focus on the bad. We don't tend to focus on the good. And that's something that I think we really need to pay attention to when we stop and we stand still. We need to acknowledge God, and we need to acknowledge the blessings that He gives us every day. We need to stand firm in faith. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And this is beginning in verse 24. It says, "Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith." We have to stand firm in the faith that we have. Because we live in a world today where there are so many people who are trying to tear us down, so many people who are focusing on trying to debunk our faith, so to speak. And we have to stand up for our faith. We have to stand firm in our faith. We have to stand firm in the Word of God. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Actually, I'm going to start with verse 13. It says, "But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in truth. To this He called you through our gospel so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter." Now, that's something that's extremely relevant to us today. Now, keep in mind, this is Paul writing to the people of Thessalonica. Now, at that time, the apostles literally spoke and taught to people. Now, of course, we don't have apostles teaching to us today, but we do have ministers, elders, preachers, different people who speak to us on, you know, on a daily basis and tell us things that we really need to listen to. But also, we have God's Word. And we need to stand firm in the things that we're being taught. Now, one thing we need to keep in mind when we stand firm in God's Word is that that doesn't mean simply accepting everything that we're told. Standing firm in God's Word means we're going to investigate the things that we're being told. You know, we should never take at face value what someone tells us. You know, especially, you know, if someone tells you something that seems a little contradictory, that sounds a little different to what you've heard, go to God's Word and examine it. Also, we need to stand up for God's Word. Turn back to, and this is in the Old Testament, a long way back, turn back to Nehemiah chapter 8. And this is in between Ezra and Esther. Now, to me, this is a really cool thing that we see happening here in Nehemiah chapter 8. We see people standing for God's Word. Not in the sense I was just talking about, But this was in a very literal sense. Now, let's begin looking at verse 5. It said, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all of the people stood." When's the last time this congregation has stood up when someone has gone to the Holy Scriptures? When's the last time someone has stood up? This was something in reverence, that they did in reverence. Now, I don't know about you, and it may be different, but I personally haven't seen that happen. But these people revered God's Word so much that when they opened the book to read, they stood up. So this standing was a very literal sense. And it's something that we need to keep in mind. We need to stand. We need to slow down, acknowledge what God has given us, acknowledge our blessings, acknowledge everything God has done for us. We need to stand firm in our faith and in God's Word. And we do need to honor God's Word, show reverence. The second verb that we see in Jeremiah chapter 6, it says, "and look." Now, this to me implies a little more action than the first. And these are all action verbs. But to me, when we look for something, it's usually very active in that we are trying to seek something that maybe has been lost, maybe that we're trying to find. You know, I talked about this morning in Bible class trying to find a check that I had lost years ago and not being able to find it. And looking shows that, you know, we're actively doing something. You know, we live in a society of a lot of people who want instant gratification for everything. They don't want to take the time to work, to look for, you know, whatever it is they're having to do. You know, I think about, you know, I teach a lot of different types of students, but one thing I've noticed this issue with is, in particular, the high school students that I have taking my classes. They are always looking for a quick way out, I found. Let me give you a good example. I think this was last semester. In my 1101 class, their final assignment is a major research paper. And they have to have 3 to 5 academic sources on the paper. I had a student email me one day, "Mr. Hamner, I am having trouble finding sources. So you can just find 3 sources and send them to me, and I will use them for the student's topic." And I'm like, it doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. You know, I think of another example. I had a student one time email me, "Can I change the topic for my research paper? I cannot find any good sources. I have been looking for 30 whole minutes, and I can't find anything. Can I change my topic?" Well, first of all, the problem isn't the topic. The problem is that good research takes hours upon hours of work. But they don't care about that. They want it now. We live in a society where, you know, people want whatever it is they want instantly. And oftentimes don't want to work for it. You know, I remember my first job, and at my first job, you know, I worked for a whole winter, and every bit of money I made, I saved so I could buy me a guitar. And I worked hours upon hours to buy that. You know, I think at the end of that, when I paid that money, I understood the value of hard work. And I'm sure, you know, most everyone has a story like that, you know, that you work hard for something and you're able to get it. But there's a lot of people who aren't willing to put in the work. Sometimes we have to look. We have to actively seek. And sometimes, sorry, it's going to take longer than 30 minutes. And, you know, it may be difficult. But the thing is, we need to be actively looking, actively seeking what it is God wants us to do. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Turn over to Colossians chapter 3 real quickly. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Sometimes the things we're seeking, we're focusing too much on things that are here in this world, things that are in front of us. And we need to be seeking the things above, where God is, where Jesus is at his right hand. Also, we need to seek to do good. Flip over in my Bible, it's just a page or so, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Beginning with verse 15, it says, "See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone." You know, he's telling them, you know, do good to each other as Christians, but do good to everybody. And that's something that I think we really need to keep in mind today, because we live in a world where this verse isn't always applicable. In fact, very rarely it is, because a lot of people aren't necessarily seeking to do good. But that's what we need to do. And one other verse I want us to look at, turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And of course, Hebrews 11 is often referred to as the faith chapter. It says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." You know, we need to be actively seeking God. We need to be looking for the right way, for the good things that we need to be doing. And, you know, whether, you know, if you're comparing old versus new, whether the old way was better, whether the new way is better, whatever, we need to be seeking what God wants us to do. And if we seek first the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because if we do that, we know we'll be on the right track. So, the verse says, "Stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths." You know, it's not enough just to look, or just to stand and just to look, but sometimes we have to ask, right? Now, if you're like me, and I have a suspicion that probably there are more than a few in here who are like this, I don't always like to ask for help. In fact, I would rather be in so much trouble and try to get out of it on my own before I go and ask for help. That's pride, right? I think we're all guilty of that in some ways. But sometimes we need to just simply ask people who know more than we do. You know, for me personally, sometimes that's quite difficult. But, you know, I often go to my parents anytime, you know, I need advice on things that just quite honestly I don't know much about. And there are times where I'm guilty of thinking, oh, I know more than they do. And, no, I'm joking. But they really do know a lot. And we don't need to take for granted the wisdom of elders, the wisdom of people who, you know, have lived long Christian lives and know the right answers. And we need to ask for help. We need to ask. We need to ask for the way that is good. Ask for the ancient paths where the way is good. Turn over to Luke chapter 11. And To set the context of what I'm going to be reading, the disciples have just come to Jesus and they've asked him, they said, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. And he tells them. He tells them what, you know, we commonly refer to as the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer. And then he gives a short parable on how important it is to ask, how important it is to be persistent in what we ask God for. So let's begin reading with verse 9. It says, "And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, it will be open." That's something that we really need to keep in mind, that we need to be asking. Sometimes we just have to ask for help. Where's the best place to go to get help on spiritual matters? We need to go to God's Word. And we need to ask. You know, sometimes this phrase, ask and it shall be given, I'm not sure if we always buy into that, do we? I'm not sure if we always believe that when we ask God for something, oh, am I going to get it? That's not the mind frame we need to have. But I just don't know how convicted we sometimes are when we ask God for these things. But it says, if you ask God, He's going to give it to you. And, you know, sometimes I think we need to be very conscious of that when we ask God, because, you know what? He may give you what it is you've been asking for. You know, I think a good example of that we see in the Old Testament of someone asking God for something and receiving it comes in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Go ahead and turn over there in your Bibles. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And this is referring to Solomon. And of course, the one thing that we always associated with Solomon, we always associate Solomon with is what? Wisdom. Now, let's begin reading with verse 7. It said, "In that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask what I shall give you. And Solomon said to God, you have shown great and steadfast love to David my father and have made me king in his place. O Lord God, let your word to David my father be now fulfilled, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people. For who can govern this people of yours, which is so great?" God answered Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for possessions, wealth, honor, or life of those who hate you, and have not even asked for long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may govern my people over whom I have made you king, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you." Solomon got what he asked God for. And I think it's really important to keep in mind that what he asked God for was for something that would help him help other people. That's how our minds need to be focused. That's what we should be thinking about when we ask God. You know, I'm sure we're all guilty in some ways of selfishly asking God for things. But we need to be thinking about asking God ways that we can be better, ways that we can improve on our Christian life. And Solomon, he asked for wisdom and knowledge, and he got both of them. And that's really, you know, what we know, what really is known about Solomon. So, if we ask, it will be given. And then, finally, when we're looking at Jeremiah chapter 6, excuse me, yes, 6 verse 16, it says, "And walk in it and find rest for your souls." It's not just enough to stand. It's not just enough to look. It's not just enough to ask. But we have to, as we might say, practice what we preach. We have to put it all into motion. We have to walk in these ancient paths that have been asked for. Turn over to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, says, "This is the message that we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness and we lie and do not practice the truth, But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us." We need to walk with God. We need to walk in the light. You know, I think there's some really important lessons that we can learn from looking back at this verse in Jeremiah chapter 6. You know, it's saying, look to those ancient paths. Stand, look, ask, walk. Sometimes it is best to look back. You know, we live in a world where people are constantly trying to change what this Bible says, trying to change God's Word. And I'm sure you've seen it on TVs and whatnot. A lot of people today are really perverting what this word says. They are adding things that's not there. They are taking things out that have been there from the beginning. And that's a problem. Whenever we deal with God's word, we always need to look at it. Look back, not try to change with the times, as people say. And I'm not saying that there isn't good, that there aren't things that we need to be doing to help in our ministries. But we need to focus on God's Word. We need to stand, we need to look, we need to ask, and we need to walk. So if there's anyone here tonight who has never obeyed God's Word, of course, this is our last opportunity, our last meeting time tonight, and we always want to give anyone a chance to do that. Also, if there's anyone here tonight who needs prayers or needs to repent of any sins, we'd like to give anyone a chance to do that right now as we stand and sing.